Success isn't given, it's earned. And earning it means becoming the person who deserves it. The bottom line is where we cut through the chaos to simplify success, uncovering the strategies, mindset, and resilience it takes to win. Real stories, expert insights, and practical tools. Because the only way to the top is by putting in the work. This is The Bottom Line.
Welcome to another episode of The Bottom Line, the show where we like to cut through the chaos to simplify success. Every successful person has a story. Some stories are about talent, some are about luck, but every once in a while, you meet someone whose story reminds you that success is not about where you started. It's about what you choose to do after everything falls apart. And today's guest is Brian Downs, owner of Downs Construction. He is a husband, a father, a business owner, and someone who has experienced rock bottom firsthand through faith, obedience, integrity, discipline, and an unwavering commitment to become a different man. He rebuilt not only a successful construction company, but an entirely different life. So Brian, thank you for being on the show today. It's an honor and a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you for having me. It's a privilege to be here.
I've been waiting to have this conversation for a while, so I'm gonna dive right in and just kind of get right into the meat of this, because this part of this conversation is all about kind of what was your story like. So, you know, tell us about who Brian Downs was before everything changed.
So I'm Brian Downs, obviously. I'm 44 years old. I've lived a pretty eventful life. I grew up in Battle Creek, Michigan. I had a pretty perfect, picture-perfect family. Everything that a kid could ask. I was brought up right. I had an amazing mother, beautiful, soulful mother.
And, you know, it came to a point where you kind of started getting to where you knew something needed to change. Life got really difficult. What was that like? Who were you in the midst of that before you found your relationship with God and things started to change?
So what really changed and pivoted my life in the direction of it for me was going through high school, all through that, had the great family, everything was well. And suddenly, around the time when I was graduating and getting out of school, my whole life, a tornado happened in my family, and everything abruptly changed, and everything that I thought I knew had changed. I was thrust pretty much at that time, didn't ask for it, but I was thrust into an environment where everything fell apart around me. My parents divorced. It was hit for me for most of the time. Any issues that we were having, we didn't know anything about it until we come to where we were getting out of school, and then everything kind of was presented. My parents split apart. At that time, my mother ended up being diagnosed with cancer. Yep. Lost my brother, lost my father. A lot of things kind of happened within a short amount of time that I wasn't prepared to handle.
Yep.
So.
And then the outlets were not really the healthiest or best outlets, and it just kind of drove things further and further to a point where, you know, you're the man you are now in the midst of some of the craziest things I've ever heard, a story that is unlike really any I've heard. I've interviewed hundreds of people at this point. I've heard countless stories, and a redemption story like this is almost unheard of until you start looking at the Bible. Then you're like, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Stories like this have happened before, but you're living one.
Yeah.
You're living proof that things around you can fall apart. You can go through dark holes, dark spaces, but you know, what decisions led you to what you describe as rock bottom?
Really, at the root of it, I was lost. So I was just lost. If we knew a better way to live, why wouldn't we do it?
Yeah.
It would be silly not to, but I didn't know how to think about what was happening. I didn't know how to reply. I didn't know how to respond to what was going on in my life. It was essentially too much. So, you know, I needed an outlet, and I first turned to drugs immediately after things started going bad, pills and Vicodin and things like that.
Yep.
And it was just an effect that compounded. One bad decision went to another bad decision went to another bad decision. You lose this relationship, you lose that relationship, and things just get worse. And as things continue to get worse, that's what I mean by they compound. the gravity of it, the guilt, it just one thing after another. And, you know, I let this person down, I lost this relationship, I made this bad decision here, or, you know, like, so to speak, through of it, you know, through my addiction that got worse. My brother too at the time was having issues with depression, you know, because not only was it my life that was changing through all these things that were happening, but his as well, you know. And an example, I, at some point, misery loves company. I gave my brother a morphine pill that took my brother's life, essentially. I was afraid to say that for a long time, but these days I'm not. I'm not afraid to talk about it.
It's
and
part
say
of the story.
It is part of it. I have learned that everything can be used for the greater good. So,
I love that. Most people would not be able to look at it from that angle. And, you know, with that being said, you know, you're a completely different man today in the sense of God called you to be somebody, and he gave you a mountain. He gave you a Goliath. He gave you a really big thing that you had to conquer and overcome, fighting tooth and nail in partnership with him to get there. Was there a defining moment where you realized something had to change, and when you decided, I'm going to partner with God and I'm going to do this?
So the defining moment that I think about, I go back, is so through the climax of all them bad decisions, there are consequences for those decisions. And one of those moments, I was in jail. I was in jail for a stay in Battle Creek through the bad decisions. I happened to be a cellmate with a preacher.
Wow.
So that's really what, his name was Samuel, of all names. He was a preacher. And for that time being there, I must have read the Bible over with him. I wouldn't say thoroughly read it from top to bottom, or front to back, but I read through it in that 6 months with him at least five times.
Wow. Wow.
So I remember it was all we talked about and all we did. And, you know, so I remember when I was getting ready to leave, there was about 5 days before I left, and I was in the cell by myself after this relationship and time with him, the influence on me. And I remember asking God I asked God to come into me. I asked God to work through me, and I asked God to change me. And I you got to be really careful what you ask yeah. for. You got to be really careful what you ask for, because that was the defining moment that changed. Because when I was released from jail, I went through a storyline for the next year. It actually was the darkest year of my life, and it turned into be the most memorable. Just the most defining, changing moment of my life was the darkest year I went through. And looking back now, I see that his hand was in it, and he was guiding me through it. It was essentially, I couldn't be touched during that period. Mm-hmm. I didn't know it at first, but it set the path. It set the stage for me moving forward in my life. And though I still wrestle with things, but...
I mean, that's part of it. You know, it's interesting because... Now, you run a successful business now. You've got an incredible life, a loving woman, and you have built a platform where other people are thriving because of the work you've put in. You know, and something that I like to think about all the time is, you know, it's darkest before the dawn. It's hard before it gets easy. You know, blessing waits on the other side of whatever adversity really is. But it's that continual partnership. It's showing up consistently with God and knowing that he's got it, and that, you know, he went to work on you.
Yeah.
But one thing that I like to think about, and my pastor even nowadays still says this all the time, almost every Sunday, following God, accepting God, is the best decision you'll ever make, but the hardest one to live out. Because that first year is hard. It's not easy. You're in the process of sanctification. You're being transformed, and it's not always pleasant. It's really not. But the beauty is when you have hindsight. Right, you can look back years and think of, wow, it didn't make sense then, but it makes a whole lot of sense now. And I find that to be extremely, extremely powerful. You know, and with that in mind, you know, someone that's kind of going down that same path, and we'll definitely dive into this a little bit more later, what's one first step? Someone that is looking at what seems like an impossible mountain, that thinks there's no way they can change, no way they can fix it, what's one first step they can make, one decision? What's one thing?
The only way I can answer that, honestly. The only thing that changed my life and projected all of it is my faith. I don't know how else to say it, because if it wasn't for me being having the ability to see what I seen that year and the miracles that transpired, I knew he was real. And once I knew he was real, I knew I had purpose, I knew I had value, I knew that there's nothing I can't do. I knew that I wasn't abandoned anymore. I knew that it's not a, I guess to answer that, just look at things that are that not why is this happening to me, but what is he trying to teach me?
Ooh.
Everything that I thought was bad, I look at in my life in the past, turned out to be the most beautiful thing that's ever happened to me. My brother's death, for example. I had to learn, because it was killing me, mm-hmm. how to accept and have acceptance of things outside of my control, and that's part of life, and acceptance, forgiveness, but just knowing, I know he's real, I know he's watching me, so I do everything in a certain way that I know that would honor him.
Yeah, so. Something you said there, which is absolute gold, so to our audience, you gotta write this down. It's change the perspective of why is this happening to me? And, you know, why is this going wrong? Why does this hurt so bad? And change it to what is God trying to show me in this? What lesson is he trying to teach me? What am I growing into in the process of this? So, you know, Brian, your story is not simply about getting your life back together. It's about becoming an entirely different man. You know, when you come back, you know, when we come back, we've got so much more to talk about. And I want to talk about the foundation underneath that change, faith, obedience, and what it looks like to follow God when you can't really see the outcomes ahead. So don't go anywhere. Grab some coffee, stretch out, grab popcorn, whatever it is you got to do. We'll be back with more of The Bottom Line. Welcome back to The Bottom Line. Before the break, Brian walked us through the reality of rock bottom and the first steps towards rebuilding. Now I want to move from the story of what changed to the foundation of how it changed. We hear people talk about faith all the time, but faith without obedience never really changes anything. And Brian, your life seems to be a testimony of trusting God even when the next step doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. So again, thank you for being on the show. This is such a pleasure to have this opportunity to talk to you on camera and to hear the story and to share it with the world. So I'm glad you're here. And with that being said, the show is called The Bottom Line for a reason. I like to jump right in and get to the stuff that really matters to people. So a really loaded question I've got for you.
What is that?
Is today, how would you define faith today?
I used to think I was a faithful person. I know that. I realized just how much I wasn't a faithful person until I seen what I seen, obviously. Faith today is, I guess, in terms of believing in something not yet seen. But faith to me is just fully trusting and believing that the path that my feet has already been laid out for me.
So it's believing in something you can't yet see.
That's...
Even though there's not all this weight or proof right in front of you, you just believe it, you know it, and you move.
Yeah.
And I think that's powerful, genuinely. And you know, I've had the chance to kind of explain to you what I thought faith is and what I think of it. And it goes along that line. It's acting in the belief of that warranty, guarantee, or promise. God says there's a path, there's a plan. I'm here for you, not against you. So I believe it, and I just walk forward. And all the time, I don't see where that's going. Actually, as a matter of fact, I pretty much never see where he's leading me. I just follow. And I think there's a big, big message and lesson in that. And you're living proof. I mean, you've went from that to building a successful company that's helping a lot of people. People have jobs, are being taken care of. They're part of a team that matters. And not only that, you're growing rapidly. You're making a difference. You're standing out in your market there in Michigan. But, you know, when did your relationship with God become personal instead of simply religious? Was it that moment in jail where you let him in? Is that the beginning of that personal depth?
No, I didn't realize what was going to happen until I got out of jail. And it took some time for the story to kind of go through that year. I kind of see it as the story of Scrooge, to where he was took through a series of events, to see what his life was going to be like or what was going on based off the decisions he was making. It's something I can really relate it to, that I was kind of took through a period that was just for me, made for me, to where I got to see two sides of a spectrum, an evil side and a good side.
Mm-hmm.
Through that period of that year, I witnessed seven miracles that I can't explain. In each one of those miracles, there was somebody next to me. God allowed someone to be next to me just so that I knew I wasn't going crazy. Mm. But I remember after the first couple, it's kind of like, you know, wow. And then, you know, after that, they would happen, and I would watch someone next to me, their eyes kind of roll, and they were in this disbelief of what they were seeing. And it got to a point where I was like, it's okay. I know what's happening here. I know what's going on. And so once that started happening, I knew, again, that's where I, you know, at the end of it, I had purpose.
Of relationship was really coming in, is, wow, God keeps showing up.
Yeah.
God keeps moving, working miracles.
I'm not alone. He's real. He's very real in my life. These things are not just a figment of my imagination. Not only am I seeing this miraculous thing happen, but there's somebody else witnessing it that cannot make sense of what's going on. Just to make sure I wasn't.
Yeah, you were crazy.
And then, so for me, you know, it's hard because I believe if everybody could see what I seen, it would forever change their life. But unfortunately, it's kind of not how faith works.
So it's called sharing the good news, right?
Yeah. Yep. You know, more blessed are those that are that believe without seeing,
mm-hmm.
than those that get to see and then believe. Unfortunately, it took me to be able to see some things. Now, I don't want to say unfortunately. It was my purpose. I got to witness some things that not everybody will get to see.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, where I'm at with that now is, how do I get those people to see what I've seen? And the only way I can do that is by the way that I live, the integrity, the character. It's by the way that I present myself. It's and the only reason why I can live that way, really, is because I know that He's right next to me now.
Yeah.
I know that He's there watching me, and I know that there's a blessing and a punishment for the wrong and right decisions. I know a lot of us may think that it's hogwash and mm-hmm. these things in the Bible, and, you know, there's no fun in that. The problem is you until you fully read it through and you have a faithful relationship, you're not going to find out that those things will transpire, that they're real.
Yep.
They're really real. So I owe all the honor of what's happening to me and what's going on because I was able to see Him.
Mm-hmm.
I essentially, like an awakening, most people go through life and they don't have that chance until near death, and they think back on their life on, give me another opportunity, I'll change everything, let me go back,
yep.
I'll spend more time with this person, or the things that really matter that are really important in life. And by the grace of God, I had the ability to have an awakening earlier mm-hmm. on in my life. I didn't have to, you know, go all the way to the end. So. And because of that, like, what is He trying to teach me? My view instantly changed of all these bad things that happened in my life, that there was value in it. Everything mm-hmm. had value, an extreme amount of data, and I can take that data and I can apply it now. And so I continue to make the right decisions.
Yeah, it's showing up with purpose. It's leading by example.
Yes.
You wonder how people are going to, you know, see what you see and see the beauty of God. And you know, one of the things that I like to talk about all the time is, you know, we're like the moon to the sun, you know, and I've mentioned this to you before, and I, you know, I've actually mentioned it on the show. I talk about all the time, my clients and keynotes, and it's, you know, we're called to be a lot like the moon. You know, at nighttime, you see all this beautiful light coming from the moon, but it's not actually the moon's light. It's just reflecting the light from the sun. So I think of it as, okay, we're called to be a lot like the moon. Jesus is the light. We're meant to reflect it. So it's not always, I can't convince everyone to see what I see. I can just show them the character of Jesus by walking in His steps, by trying to be like Him, by trying to pursue and participate with God's movement. And in that process, they're going to see a glimpse of God. The yeah. Spirit's going to talk to them. Something's going to happen where they want to know more. They want to seek more. They want to be a part of it. And I think there's a lot of power to that. So, you know, could you actually share a time when God was asking you to do something, or telling you need to do something, and it just seems so logically ridiculous, like it took faith to just move where he was saying, to do what he was telling you to do. Have you ever had moments like that?
One of the most profound moments that of faith was my relationship with my fiance. You want to know like how that?
Yeah, let's dive in.
So after the series of the year that I went through, the dark year. From that point on is when my life, the trajectory of my life changed thereafter.
Yeah,
I had to go through many series of healing. I was in and out of probably 14 rehabs, I believe. I had some years of sober living I had to go through. I was so damaged and so broken that if it wasn't for that, I was near death. My organs were getting ready to shut down. I was near death. I was living in abandoned homes on the street. Again, mind you, my picture-perfect family disappeared.
Yep.
Everyone passed away abruptly, early deaths. I was alone, abandoned. But anyways, so I started a series of healing. You know, I've learned today that where we are inside, our outside will reflect that.
Yep.
So as I went through the trial of healing, you know, every new data gave me a new way to make adjustments, and things started getting gradually much better for me. It was like being in this, having this dark closet with all this baggage in the closet piled over you. That's what I assumed my life to being at that time. I have all this purpose and this gift inside. I didn't know it at the moment, but and then this world and secular views and what might be it is just piled on me.
Mm-hmm.
I call it baggage. We call it baggage in general. Yep. We carry around all these things and all these traumas and all these problems in our lives, and through that time of healing, one by one, I was clearing out that closet.
Yep.
And it's
You're
crazy.
Tossing that baggage.
It's crazy because I've seen as that happened, like we are very powerful, very strong, very adaptive people. And as that closet's getting cleared out, it uncovered this light, these gifts and this purpose. But that being said, I knew I was changing so quickly, so fast, going after every trauma that I had that was killing me. Every one of those was a new opportunity for me to evolve or figure out and dissect how to get through that problem.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we're able to then apply that data to wisdom.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So if you kick a ball thousands of times, at some point you're going to start getting it in that goal all the time. Essentially, that's why the soccer players get paid the millions. It's not necessarily the goal they're hitting. It's the millions of times that they try to kick that ball.
Exactly.
To get it there.
Yeah, it's don't fear the man that can throw 10,000 different kicks. It's fear the man that threw the same kick 10,000 times.
Yeah.
It's the same concept, right? And you were doing that. You were, okay, here's this thing that's holding me back. Here's this problem. Here's this struggle. Here's this baggage. Let me address that baggage, handle it, toss that overboard, and keep moving forward. It became a discipline for you to go to work on the character that God called you to be.
Yeah.
That's not easy. As a matter of fact, most of us avoid that until we have to deal with it. You're in a position where it's time to deal with it.
Yeah.
God's showing up, so it's my time to show up too and go to work on this, make this happen. And that led to you finding your fiance. And goodness, she's played such a major role in the change of who you are and where that's going. And it's absolutely incredible to think about.
Yeah. I was changing so much at that point. I knew I couldn't, you know, I was lonely. I've been lonely. And I was finally getting to a place in my life where I could actually have some sustenance and some substance and start getting somewhere where I have things.
It's not easy to make those transitions. And I'm going to jump in right there. We're going to have to move into break. You know, something I've noticed about your life is that your faith does not stay in church. It shows up in how you run your business. It shows up in the promises you keep. It shows up in the way that you really show up to your relationship with your fiance. And really, after the break, we're going to be diving into talking about integrity, discipline, and the quiet habits that build an extraordinary life. Welcome back to The Bottom Line. I'm still here with Brian Downs, and we have talked about rock bottom, faith, and obedience. Now I want to bring into this everyday decisions that actually shape the life and businesses that we have, especially with him. You know, we live in a culture looking for shortcuts, but everything you have built seems to be the result of doing ordinary things extraordinarily well for a long time. It's that discipline. It's that obedience. It's the showing up again and again and again, even when it's hard. And I think we got a little bit of a glimpse of why you do that. It's you want other people to see what you've seen. It's sharing that good news, and it's not always about having a megaphone. Sometimes it's about just showing up, just leading by example and living that. So I'm so glad to have you on the show still. This is such an incredible conversation I've been looking forward to. And to dive right back in, have a little bit more fun, and keep picking that beautiful brain of yours, I'm going to start with another bit of a loaded question here, and it's, what does integrity actually mean to you now?
Integrity, character, so integrity is, you know, what we do in the dark when no one sees, when no one's looking. So there's always somebody watching. Integrity, so that's my saving grace. I earnestly, that what you see in the light is what it also transpires in the dark for me in my life. Who you see out in person, the transparency, authenticness, is also who I am when no one's around. There's no sense in me trying to be somebody I'm not. It's not gonna do me any good. It's not gonna get me anywhere, because he is right there with me watching me. Right? So I, and that's integrity to me. And he's helped me a lot with that. So,
You know, I think you summarized it really well. You lined that out very well. It's being the same person in front of everybody that you are when no one's actually watching. It's, you know, and integrity is so important. It's do what you say what you do, and just be who you are. And honestly, I think integrity for me has evolved so much, in the sense of God's calling me to be somebody. He's given an identity over me. Why would I try to present myself as anything other than who he's called me to be? It almost seems disrespectful to God, right?
Yeah.
He's calling us to something great, to be something important, to be a part of his plan. So when you're trying to be somebody that you're not, are you trying to tell God that his plan's not good enough? Identity he's given me, it's not good enough. And like you said, you know, that to you, it's more than just an outward appearance. It's being in alignment with what God's telling you to do and who he's calling you to be. It's, he's watching you. It would not make sense to be like, oh, I'm this, I'm that, I'm this kind of person. No, it's, I'm just me. I'm who God's made me to be. I've been through this. This is who I'm becoming. And there's beauty in that.
So I will say also, the benefit with that is because of that, and I'm thankful for him that he does that for me, or with me, right? So by making these integritable decisions, by living a certain way that I know that he wants me to live, there are a lot of rewards that come from that. Again, it's, you know, it's hard. You don't find that out until you stick with it for a while, and that's where the faith comes in. But a lot of good things happen by making these decisions. They don't feel good right away. It's not the easiest path of least resistance. You know, it's not the most instant gratifying. That's kind of what gets us in the problem most of the time, is we want this instant gratification. We want to feel good right now in the moment, but we're going to suffer for it tenfold in the long run. Yeah. Right now, because of the integrity things and trying to make the right decisions, there's always the best case scenario decision. And whatever you're going through and whatever you're doing, there's the wrong decision and then there's the best decision.
I'm
not always going to make the best decision, but because of integrity, I get to navigate the cleaner waters of figuring out what that right decision is. Sometimes I get it right away, and sometimes I don't. But if I don't, it's because of his purpose and his will. There's some things I got to figure out in the meantime.
Love that.
There's always a best decision. I'm in the business now. Once I've caught on to that how integrity works and the rewards that come from that, I'm full charge going after the right decisions. Yeah. I'm so excited about it that I'm even watching other people, the decisions they make and how they do things and how they interact, to try to pull data from that to make the best decision for myself. Because I so badly want the rewards that come from that now. Like it's not a myth. You do the right things. I call it the blessing dial. The more I make these integritable and great character decisions, even when it's difficult in the face of temptation, I know what we're all up against and how difficult it is to make these proper decisions against temptation. It's like the dial is turned up on the spiritual rewards, the spiritual lottery, I call it.
Yeah.
You're not always going to hit it, but but it's there, and there's a lot of rewards that come from those good decisions, the making and integritable decisions. They don't feel good at first. They're not easy. They're not popular by everybody. Not a lot of people are doing it. You don't see it that often. But I think when you do that, there are people
that
watch, and it is influencing, and there are people, we need more of that.
Yeah, people that lead by example, that consistently do their best to make the hard, right decisions.
Yes.
And that's the truth. It's come too easy in our society nowadays to make the wrong decisions comfortably. Matter of fact, society and culture very much encourage you to make these decisions that we know kind of deep down are just not really the best. But with that comes the reality of not everyone's always going to be happy, and it's not always going to be comfortable. And, you know, with you being kind of a living example, I'm curious, have you ever, you know, lost money because you refused to compromise your integrity?
All the time.
On a job, in the business.
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. And it's a test of my faith, right? So all the time I'm faced with doing something the way I believe God wants me to do it, the outcome looks nil. The evidence suggests on paper and in front of me that it's not going to work well for me. I owe these people, or we made a mistake over here on this project, and I have the opportunity to cover this up, or I can come up with an excuse, and I'm not going to make this pay this debt back because money looks tough right now, or it's a rough time, and or maybe because we're fixing this mistake over here and trying to do the right thing. Well, then, even when it's difficult and the money doesn't suggest that we can do that, I can trust my Father, and that if I do that, He'll take care of everything. And not only will I do it here, but I'll also be presented with a challenge of, well, I got to pay this debt here. It's a promise in the Bible to pay your debts.
Yep.
He'll take care of those things for us. So it's right, even when the doors seem like they're going to close and you have every shred of evidence and excuse to do the wrong thing. And I'm tested, even with seeing what I've seen, to know the truth, I wrestle with it, and it's even difficult for me. So I can only imagine what it's like for people out there that didn't get to see the miracles that I've seen. How do you make that decision? How do you do the right thing when everything around you suggests that it's not going to work out well for you? But I'm telling you, I've time and time again made those decisions, and I get emotional about it because I've made those decisions and I've trusted Him.
Yep, and He shows up.
And it exceeds my expectation every time. On paper, it doesn't look like this is the best decision for me to make right now.
Yep.
And no one's going to understand it either. And
sometimes people think
you're alone because of it.
Yep.
But you're never alone.
Never actually alone.
You're never really alone. But I make the right decisions, and I get rewarded because of that faith.
It makes me think of Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. When I think it was King Nebuchadnezzar, you know, wanted everyone to bow down to a big idol of him, and three men said no. They didn't bow. They were brought before him, and they just stood in that faith of, my God shows up. And even if He doesn't, it doesn't change anything of how we believe in Him. We will not bow before you or any idol. We only serve one God. Knowing that that man could send them to their death. As a matter of fact, he threw him into a furnace, but the beautiful thing is, he threw him in that furnace, and when King Nebuchadnezzar looked, he saw four people in that fire. He saw four, not the three.
Right.
God was with him the whole time.
Right.
The whole time. Where they could have felt alone, they could have been like, God, why have you left me? You know, they're like, He's here. He's with us. We know that. And even if He doesn't save us from this fire, this death that we have, it doesn't change anything. And He showed up. They were never alone in that fire. He was there. They didn't get burned. They walked out of that furnace. No problem. And that's kind of the beauty. Others thought they were crazy. You just bow. He's going to kill you. He's going to end your life. All this. And no, they just said, no. My God shows up. That's who He is.
That's exactly what it is, tested in the fire.
Exactly. And that's the beauty. He's never left you alone. He's always there. But, you know, with that and being faced with those decisions all the time, why is discipline so important to you? Why is doing that consistently such an important thing? You mentioned compounding. Is that what that is? Is that why the discipline matters?
I believe it's a consistent thing. It's you're either lukewarm or you're consistent, and you're all in or you're not. You have to be all in. You have to be all in. You have to trust Him. He's going to meet you where you meet Him. If you're lukewarm, you're going to get lukewarm results. I'm sorry. It's just the way it is.
Yep.
It's the way it is.
He didn't call us to just believe or just be Christians. He called us to follow him. Following him means you have a relationship. It means it's a two-way street. You show up, you talk, you try to be as best as you can and consistent as you can in that relationship. I mean, think, if you're chasing somebody all the time and they're never trying to chase you, they're never looking back at you, they're never trying to work with you, are you going to want to keep up with them?
Yeah.
No. And with God, he could, sure, but it's not a relationship. Relationship implies you both put in work. You give 100% and expect nothing in return. But with God, if you give nothing in return, it turns into, depart from me, I never knew you. It's not, he never knew you. It's just difficult to understand how it's easy for people to take it for granted and to stay surface level when the depths is really where God shows up and transformation happens.
Yep.
So that discipline of showing up consistently and keep making those hard decisions, keep doing what he's telling you to do, be obedient, it changes everything. It's changed everything for me. I mean, goodness, I would not be where I am today if it wasn't for that level of obedience, consistency, and discipline, and just saying, okay, God, what are you telling me to do in this moment? Is it step over the edge of this cliff? Okay. I might rise up wings like eagles. I don't know, but I know that you're going to show up, and that's what matters. Now, Ryan, there are people watching us right now who may not own a business. They may simply be hurting, right? They may believe they have gone too far. But when we come back, I want to spend our final segment speaking directly to the person who needs to know there is still a way forward. So we'll be right back on The Bottom Line. Welcome back to The Bottom Line. We have heard Brian's story of rock bottom, the role of faith and obedience, and the integrity and discipline that helped him rebuild. In this final segment, this one's extremely important to me, and this is one of the big reasons why I love being able to have a show and do this kind of thing. You know, I want to speak directly to the viewer who feels stuck in failure, shame, addiction, regret, or really repeated disappointments. And I think there's not very many people better to talk directly to those people than Brian himself. So thank you for being here. Thank you for sharing the story. I know it's not always easy to step out and do something that's uncomfortable. And we talked a little bit before this interview, mind you, and this is one of those areas that is not exactly a comfort zone to be on camera, to talk to people, but this is one of those areas where God has shown up for this conversation. And I think you're sharing a lot of value with us. So I want to dive right in and let's see how we can make a difference today with this conversation, right? You know, what would you tell someone who believes they have ruined their life? They think there's no way back.
It wasn't until I've lost everything that I gained everything, as bizarre as it is to say that. It's your perception. You can tell me what you've lost or what you're going through, and I'm already 10 steps ahead of that trying to dissect what you're telling me to take all that information and apply it in my life. It's everything that's going wrong or bad or didn't work out can always and will always be used for the greater good of God if you let it. It's
a powerful thing.
It is.
And it makes me think of something, you know, if you lose the world, you can gain your life. Take on the world, you lose your life. It's sometimes it takes losing everything to gain everything. And it maybe that sounds kind of crazy to believe. Maybe it's, you know, for some of our audience, they might not understand that. What I mean is, when you die to yourself, you come alive in a different way. When you stop chasing things of the world, the things of God start to show up. It's a completely different way of living life. And Brian's living it. I'm doing my best to live it. And it's an incredible thing. So I think to summarize something here that, you know, we tell somebody that thinks their life is ruined, there's no way back. That's wrong. If you look at, there's countless stories out there of God using the most broken, most messed up, terrible people for the greatest things. Jesus surrounded himself with tax collectors, prostitutes, the worst of the worst. Why? Because he can use anybody. Doesn't matter where you are. Where you begin doesn't dictate where you're going to go. And where you're at now doesn't either. It's the decision to move forward in participation with God. And like I said earlier, you know, the decision to follow God is the best decision you'll ever make, but the hardest one you'll ever live out. So, you know, as we kind of tie into this, can God redeem anybody?
Yes, he can.
What does that look like? What do we mean when we say that we believe God can redeem anybody?
What does that mean, that God can redeem anybody?
Yeah.
If I can use my experience, I was a wretch. I was a wretch, Ryan. I made every bad decision. I lost everybody in my life. I made every mistake that you can make. I was at the very bottom, lost, no hope, the walking dead of the street. And I believe all that happened for a reason, because I had to be all the way alone with every single mistake and every excuse to not overcome or rise up, for God to show me what he could do. And it literally was like the sky opened and I seen what I seen, and everything changed. And instantly I knew, like I said, that it's not why is this happening to me, but what is he trying to teach me? And the same thing with anybody going through it. Work through your problems. He never promised that he would take the storms away from us, but he did promise he would be with us through them storms. And I assure you he is, if you let him. It's just like, I know it's hard, but it's like the Peter Pan effect.
Yep.
Peter Pan couldn't fly until he truly believed that he could. And luckily I was able to see, and my belief changed. And when my belief changed, the influence and the action completely changed in my life. And ever since, that trajectory has been into a beautiful place.
You know, it's sometimes it takes seeing something that's just too real to deny. I remember when I was in the hospital at 12, you know, all those surgeries, major blood loss, spent 6 months in a hospital bed. It was rough. I remember one night that changed my life, saved my life, and it was a dream where I heard God say to me, and I heard his voice, and it was the most unreal thing I could ever explain. I remember it clear as day. He said, "There's more, don't leave. There's more, don't leave." They were going to send me home without doing all the proper scans. And I remember that morning, my mother and I had the same dream. And we were both saying, "No, there's more. We can't leave. Like, there's something else going on. Let's do more scans. Let's check more stuff." They do another scan. They check more things. Next thing you know, they're rushing me into a 12-hour surgery to save my life. They said if I would have went home, I would have been dead by the next morning, because the internal bleeding was so bad. The internal infections were so bad. That experience changed everything. Everything about, whoa, God's really there. That was a thundering voice of peace, love, and just sheer perfection. I can't explain it anything other than that, and it changed my life.
Yeah.
But even after that, even after witnessing that, my relationship still struggled. I still went lower. I still made wrong turns. It took God showing up again and again and again. And that's sometimes the beauty of it is, okay, you showed up again. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to do my best. And then it gets hard. But no one is beyond saving. And that's the beauty. But what role did forgiveness play in your restoration and in that healing?
Forgiveness is the number one footnote and foundation of it all, because until I could forgive myself, I couldn't heal. And forgiving others, forgiving yourself, I think is important, and it's pivotal in any change. So you have to have something to give it away. In order to really love somebody, you have to have love for yourself. And why is that? Or to really forgive somebody, I have to be able to forgive myself. And the reason being is I need to know what that really looks like. In order to know what that really looks like, I need to recover and overcome my thoughts and beliefs in myself, and how I treat myself, and how my regrets, my resentments, my anger, and where I fell short and mistakes I made. Today I have full forgiveness in it. I can talk about every bad thing that I've done and went through as if it's the most beautiful thing in my life. So that's because of forgiveness. And because of forgiveness, I can live beautifully and with joy and peace. I'm at peace, and I have a very beautiful way of living because I can forgive myself. But believe me, I have every excuse as the next worst person, and almost as if just so that I can say that. I have every excuse just so that I can say, anybody that comes to me with excuses on why they can't,
it's impossible to give you an excuse. I mean, you've been there.
Tell me what you've done wrong, and I'll shed the beauty and the flower of it. It's you can forgive yourself.
There's
a beautiful thing.
Serious work of God in that. And something I like to think about is, you know, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to give yourself mercy sometimes. to remember, man, I'm not perfect. I made those mistakes, but God doesn't do things by accident. He allows things to happen so that we can become who he needs us to be, to work in his greater plan. And I think of something that's very important, right? You've got justice, mercy, and grace. Justice is getting what you deserve. You know, if sin deserves damnation. That's just what it is. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. So just not having damnation. Grace is being given forgiveness on top of all of it. So I think of it like this. Forgiveness is grace. Sometimes we want people to have justice when God calls for grace. Yeah, they did wrong. Yeah, you did wrong. But you need to let it go and know that I've already forgiven you. To think about that is one of the most powerful things in the world to me, because there's times where I look back and I'm like, man, I made bad decisions. I did some dumb stuff. I hurt some people. I, maybe my integrity wasn't where it needed to be. I've got to give myself some grace because God's already forgotten about it. Something that I like to think about is, you know, the enemy, the devil, knows your name, but calls you by your sin. Yeah. Whereas God knows your sin, calls you by your name. It's beautiful. It's grace, but you've got to be able to have that grace in yourself and that forgiveness for yourself to be able to love and forgive others. Like you said, you can't give what you don't have, right? Can't. And that's such a powerful thing to say. So to the audience, like, you got to write that one down, because that one's going to stick with me probably for the rest of my life. But, you know, how do you move forward while carrying regret? Or is it you have to let go of it before you can move forward?
You have to. It's like going into a job site. Another metaphor, a way that you look at it is, you know, you can go into a job site and we got to fix these pipes in this room. But in that room, in the center of the ground, there's a bunch of clutter and there's a mess all over the place. We can go ahead and fix those pipes. It's going to be really difficult to do it over all this garbage. It's backwards. Mm-hmm. It's fundamental that, you know, I go in here and I clear this area first. I clean the area so that I can do my proper work. And in order to do that, I got to start with forgiving myself.
So you got to get rid of that regret and move forward. You got to start there. And Brian, today, you know, we've talked about what rock bottom really felt like, how faith became obedience, and why integrity matters when no one is watching, and how discipline creates the freedom to build a completely different life. So thank you for not just sharing, you know, your success. I mean, you've got a successful business. You've done great things, but thank you for sharing your scars. You know, I believe your willingness to be honest about where you have been gives someone else permission to believe their story is not over. So success is not about never failing. It's about what happens when you decide to get back up. So thank you for joining us, and thank you to the audience for being here. This has been The Bottom Line. And once again, I want to leave you with, success is not given, it's earned. So be the person that deserves it. We'll see you next time on The Bottom Line. We'll be right back.